Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, the great, good and perfect God, who is also our Heavenly Father, who loves us and cares for us. Father, we pray that you be pleased to speak to us, to help us to understand the meaning and implications of praying, "Your will be done." We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear brethren, in my last sharing, I considered with you the second half of Matthew chapter 6 verse 10, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Our prayer, "Your will be done," expresses the longing of our hearts that God's will be done. And so we pray to God accordingly. And we want His will to be done, beginning with our own hearts and our own lives. I consider with you what ought to be our approach to life in line with our prayer, "Your will be done." That is practical outworking of living by the principle and spirit of "Your will be done." I cover with you two major points. One is not passive acceptance, not the attitude, "Everything that happens is the will of God." Secondly, "Your will be done," the practical implications. Actively praying and also working, striving in this direction, that God's will be done for our own lives and also the lives of others, for every issue and every situation. This will move in the direction of kingdom building and the fulfillment of God's purposes. That is the bigger picture. And we look to the Lord to guide us and to enable us to live in this way. Not according to our own strength, our own ways, our own thinking. And you include overcoming spiritual opposition. We reflected on the example of the Lord Jesus when he prayed to God the Father, "Not my will, but yours be done," in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. The Lord Jesus was committed to the will of God the Father, even when he knew it meant the most painful, agonizing suffering, the death of the cross. We need to ask ourselves, are we serious in our commitment to God's perfect will? We may say we are committed to God's perfect will, but is it so? In everything, in every area, all the time, do we understand the implications? Even when inconvenient, disinclined, very difficult, very painful? It is not passive acceptance of all that takes place, but we actively look to the Lord to do His will, and not only do His will in our own lives, we are also promoting the will of God being done. And we are prepared to follow the will of God, to enter the difficult and painful situations we know the Lord desires of us. That means not just prepared to endure when difficulties come our way, but we are prepared to choose the path we recognize with God's will, even though we know it will involve significant difficulties, pain and suffering. This is actually the meaning of commitment, consecration, true discipleship, true faith, and it is the way to a rich, fulfilling life in Christ. This is the life in Christ, and we need to be guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. God is looking for this kind of believers, with this kind of commitment and faith in Him, unwavering faith and commitment. And such believers are reliable, they are trustworthy, and God will be pleased and will have much freedom to work deeply in and through such believers. It does not mean if we are committed to living our lives in this way, we will not falter and stumble. But when we do, we ask God for forgiveness, we ask Him to help us to get up and continue this journey with Him, and look to Him to help us to fare better. This is our basic settled posture. I now want to consider further with you practical outworking of living by the principle and spirit of "Your will be done." How to work out our lives bearing in mind two principles. One, not passive acceptance of all that takes place. Two, actively looking to the Lord to enable us to live out His will. Let us learn from the perfect example of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 18, verse 11, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" John chapter 10, verse 39. "Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him," that is, seize the Lord Jesus, "and he eluded their grasp." If we look at these two passages, you'll notice there's a contrasting response of the Lord Jesus in these two incidents. In John chapter 18, verse 11, the Lord Jesus says, "The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" He was about to be arrested, but he did not resist his arrest or being arrested, because he recognized it was the will of God the Father to submit to the arrest, climaxing in the crucifixion. He will drink the cup which God the Father had given him. That is why he told Peter, "The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" But in the earlier incident, in John chapter 10, verse 39, when the people tried to seize him, he eluded them. That is, the Lord Jesus did not simply accept passively everything taking place as God's will. In that context, he knew that was not the God's, that was not the will of God the Father for him to be seized. And so he eluded their grasp. And even if an event about to take place is consistent with God's will, the timing is important. For example, the cross. It's the will of God the Father for the Lord Jesus to go to the cross. But the timing, when the crucifixion is to take place, is important. In John chapter 8, verse 59, when they tried to stone the Lord Jesus, he did not passively accept it as the will of God the Father and allowed himself to be stoned. John chapter 8, verse 59 tells us they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So he deliberately avoided being stoned by hiding himself. In Luke chapter 4, the people wanted to throw the Lord Jesus down the cliff, but he did not allow it to take place. Luke chapter 4, verses 28 to 30. All the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. What they heard from the lips of the Lord Jesus filled them with rage. And verse 29 tells us they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. So they wanted to throw him down the cliff. But verse 30 tells us, but passing through their midst, he went his way. That is, the Lord Jesus did not allow himself to be thrown down the cliff by the people. When the Lord Jesus knew the people wanted to take him by force to make him king, he also did not allow it to take place. That is, not only when they wanted to harm him, but even when they appreciated him, they wanted to make him king, he also did not allow it. John chapter 6, verse 15. Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone, because he knew that was not the will of God the Father to be made king in that way. In all four situations, in John chapter 10, John chapter 8, Luke chapter 4, and John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus did not passively accept what was about to take place as the will of God. He knew what was about to take place was not the will of God the Father, and he did not passively allow or accepted these things about to take place. The Lord Jesus always sought to do and say what God the Father desired of him, what is pleasing to God the Father, even if it meant the cross. On the one hand, the Lord Jesus did not just accept whatever was about to take place, but beyond that, the attitude of "your will be done" means the Lord Jesus also all the time sought to do and to say what God the Father desired of him, what is pleasing to God the Father, what is the will of God the Father. In John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, the Lord Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man," referring to the cross, "then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." So whether it be the things that he speaks, he always speaks according to what God the Father desired of him. And also the things that he did. "I always do the things that are pleasing to him." The Lord Jesus actively sought to do the will of God the Father. And he related this to his being sent by God the Father. "He who sent me is with me," and God the Father being with him. So he came. He was sent by God the Father, and he sought to do the will of God the Father. Why God the Father sent Christ into this world, including the cross. And throughout his life, he sought to do the will of God the Father. What is pleasing to God the Father? Let us now also look at the example of the Apostle Paul. Like the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul did not accept passively everything taking place as God's will. For example, he did not passively accept scourging by the men of Commander Lysias as the will of God. Acts chapter 22, verse 25. "They stretched him out with thongs. They were about to scourge him. But Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, 'Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?' As a result of these words of the Apostle Paul, he was not scourged. Neither did Paul passively accept the proposal for him to go to Jerusalem to stand trial there as the will of God. That is, he did not just accept whatever was about to take place, whatever was proposed to him, he would just go along with it as the will of God. Acts chapter 25, verses 9 to 11. Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, 'Are you willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial before me on these charges?' Festus asked Paul. But Paul said, verse 10, 'I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you also very well know. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of those things is true of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar.'" Festus wanted to do the Jews a favor. They wanted Paul to be sent to Jerusalem. But actually, they wanted to kill Paul along the way to Jerusalem. Paul did not just agree with this proposal by Festus, because Paul knew the Jews might set an ambush to kill him on the way to Jerusalem, as they did on a previous occasion. There was a previous occasion where the Jews sought to ambush Paul to kill him on the way to Jerusalem. And Acts chapter 25, verse 3 tells us there was actually such an ambush to kill Paul. from the way to Jerusalem. So Paul did not just accept the proposal, and he was not sent to Jerusalem. It is clear when we read through the scriptures that the Apostle Paul was not unwilling to go through difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering, and that he always tried to avoid them. Yes, it is correct to minimize unnecessary pain and suffering. But it is clear Paul was prepared to endure much pain and suffering. Not only prepared to endure when pain and suffering came upon him, he was prepared to actively choose a course of action he knew would result in much suffering, and even to lay down his life for the sake of the gospel and the name of the Lord Jesus, to be faithful and fulfill what the Lord had entrusted to him, that is, to fulfill the will of God for his life. The Apostle Paul was prepared to actively choose the will of God, whatever it may involve. This comes through clearly in his testimony to the elders of the church in Ephesus. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24. He told them, "And now behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await him." Paul didn't know exactly what will happen to him, but he knew the Holy Spirit had solemnly testified to him again and again that bonds and afflictions await him. But Paul was prepared to go to Jerusalem, even though he knew bonds and afflictions awaited him. Not only that, Paul's settled attitude and approach to life, he stated in verse 24, the next verse, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." So Paul was prepared to go through anything, even death, so that he can complete the course, he can fulfill the ministry entrusted to him by the Lord Jesus. That is, to fulfill God's will for his life. And this ought also to be our attitude and approach to life. Acts chapter 21, verses 10 to 14. Verse 10 tells us, "A prophet named Agabus came down from Judea." Verse 11, "He took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, 'This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.'" Verse 12, "When we heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging him not to go up to Jerusalem." That is, the brethren, you're begging Paul not to go up to Jerusalem because they heard that Paul, if he were to go up to Jerusalem, then he'll be bound and delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. But what was Paul's response? Verse 13, Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." It wasn't that Paul was careless. He didn't care whether he was hurt or whether he would die or whether a certain course of action would be dangerous. But what he was talking about here is that he's ready to be bound to suffer and even to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. For the sake of the Lord Jesus, to be faithful to the Lord, then he was prepared to go through anything. Verse 14, And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, "The will of the Lord be done." So they couldn't persuade Paul to do contrary to what Paul understood to be the will of God the Father. This expression, "the will of the Lord be done," this was actually expressed the heart of the Apostle Paul. He wanted to, and he subscribed to the principle and the spirit of "the will of the Lord be done" in his own life. And his longing also that the Lord's will be done in the lives of everyone else and in every situation, in every issue. We too will have to face and to go through many difficulties in practical outworking if we want to live out the principle, "your will be done." We need to consider carefully so that we understand the meaning and implications of what we are committed to if we want to abide by this principle and spirit of "your will be done." We must be prepared to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow the Lord. This is what the Lord Jesus himself tells us in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." That is, if you want to be his disciple, you want to follow the Lord Jesus, you must deny yourself and you must take up your own cross and daily and follow him. The cross is a principle of suffering according to the will of God. If we want to follow the Lord Jesus, then we must be prepared to do the will of God, even when it means significant pain, suffering, anguish. We must be willing and prepared to be misunderstood, be maligned, to go through all kinds of hardships and pain and anguish, and in fact, to go through anything. But we do not passively accept everything that comes our way as the will of God. At the same time, we actively choose what we recognize to be the will of God, even when we know it will be very difficult and agonizing. Throughout our lives, we want to know the will of God. And when we recognize it, we look to the Lord for grace, for the Lord's enabling to fulfill his perfect will, even though we can recognize it involves significant difficulties. Yes, yes, we must look to the Lord for wisdom, to look to the Lord to discern his will for us, as well as wisdom to recognize, to discern his will for others, and for every situation and every specific issue. And then to look to the Lord how he wants us to respond and live out the principle and spirit of "your will be done" in the different situations and issues of life. And once we recognize that is the will of God, we persevere. Whether it be specific things that God wants us to say or to do, or how he wants us to fulfill our part in a certain situation. And a situation, an issue, may be ongoing. How to promote the will of God being done, to be accomplished for that issue. And it can involve significant spiritual opposition, difficulties, obstacles in the path, and we look to the Lord to enable us to persevere so long as we continue to recognize that is the will of God. It's important for us to live out such a life, to appreciate the meaning of the sovereignty of God and its implications for such a life. Are we sometimes upset, discouraged, because we think circumstances or men or the forces of darkness have obstructed, hindered us from following the Lord and serving him effectively? It may appear that way. Do we sometimes feel helpless and the situation seems hopeless? We may feel that way It may seem as if we just cannot. We are hindered from following the will of God as He desires of us. We are hindered from serving Him effectively. To live out meaningfully the principle and spirit of your will be done, it is important to exercise true faith accompanied by a proper appreciation of the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. When we are committed to live out God's perfect will, and we look to Him to guide and enable us, we can meaningfully trust God to undertake and help us live out a fruitful and truly satisfying life. If this is true in our lives, we are committed to live out God's will, and we do look to Him to guide and enable us, then we can trust God to undertake and to help us to live out a fruitful and truly satisfying life, because that is God's will for us. If we are not deceived, we recognize the will of God and we are submitted to Him and we are prepared to do our part as He desires of us, then nothing can stop us from living out such a life. No one, no circumstance, and even the forces of darkness also will not be able to block it, so that we are not able to live out a fruitful and truly satisfying life as God desires of us. The degree of God's will be fulfilled in and through our lives is directly related to the degree of freedom God has to work in and through us. The degree we submit to God and do our part as He desires of us, that is the real issue. Are we truly prepared to submit to the will of God? Have we recognized the will of God? Are we submitted to do His will? Does God have the freedom to work in us and to work through us? That is the issue. If God has the freedom to work in us and to work through us to fulfill His will for us, and we are prepared to submit to God, to do our part as He desires of us, and to look to Him to enable us, then nobody and no circumstance can block it. The scriptures reveal to us, it is the will of the Lord Jesus that His disciples live a life of spiritual abundance and fruitfulness. This is unambiguous. That is why Christ came into this world. The Lord Jesus came to this world not merely that our sins be forgiven and we be reconciled back to God. Yes, it includes that, but not merely forgiven, reconciled to God. The Lord Jesus Himself tells us, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. John chapter 10 verse 10. I came that they may have life is referring to spiritual life, His life, the life of God, and have it abundantly. A life of spiritual abundance and experience richly the life of God in us and at work in us and through us. And it is the will of the Lord that we bear much fruit. Not only bear fruit, but bear much fruit. And He's referring to true spiritual fruit that will endure through eternity. It is true spiritual fruit in God's kingdom. And the Lord Jesus has shown us how we can ensure this will become a reality in our lives. Not just we try very hard and hope it will be so. The Lord Jesus has shown us the way how we can ensure that this will become a reality in our lives. If we follow what He tells us, it will be so. There are moral and spiritual principles involved. Follow what the Lord Jesus tells us, it will come to pass. The Lord Jesus Himself has assured us it will be so. John chapter 15 verses 4 and 5. The Lord Jesus tells us, abide in me and I in you, verse 4. And in verse 5 He tells us, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. So if you abide in the Lord Jesus and He abides in us, we will bear much fruit. And that is what the Lord Jesus tells us, that is what we must do. Yes, we are spiritually joined to the risen Christ, but we need to understand how to abide in Him and He in us. And no one can obstruct us. No one can block it such that it is not possible for us to abide in the Lord Jesus and He in us. And when we abide in the Lord Jesus and He in us, we will bear much fruit and will also constantly be nourished spiritually. It's the Lord Jesus, it's the will of the Lord Jesus that we live a life of spiritual abundance. Let us set our hearts, let us be resolute to live by the principle and spirit of your will be done. And at the same time, we look to the Lord and we trust the Lord to guide and to undertake for us each step of the way and to bring about a very meaningful and positive outcome as we fulfill the part God desires of us in His overall plan and purposes. There will be many obstacles in the way. There will be many difficulties. Hindrances can come from circumstances, from people, and especially spiritual opposition directly through circumstances, through people, and also the evil one seeking to deceive us, the evil one taking advantage of the weakness of the flesh. But it is feasible for us to overcome all the obstacles in the way if we are committed to the Lord. We set our hearts to fulfill the will of God, and we look to the Lord to guide us, to strengthen us. His grace is sufficient for us. God always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. God wants us to live a triumphant life, a life of fulfillment and fruitfulness. The Lord willing, in my next sharing, I will continue to consider with you the meaningfulness of trusting God's sovereign undertaking for our lives as we live by the principle and spirit of your will be done. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we acknowledge, we know that you are the perfect God. You are the loving God, the great almighty God. And you are also our heavenly Father who loves us, who cares for us. And we know your will is good, acceptable, perfect. We pray that you will help us to set our hearts to be resolute in living out and promoting the principle of the will of God being done in our own lives, in the lives of others, in every situation, in every issue. We know it will not be an easy life, but we know it will also be a life that is truly satisfying and a life of spiritual abundance and fruitfulness. We pray that you will continue to speak to us, to renew our minds, to help us to understand how we can live out such a life. And that indeed, your will may be accomplished in our hearts and in our lives. To the glory of the Lord, we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.